Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. And today, my guest is Mark Quila, who is one of the Warrenton City Commissioners. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
What a great day to be here during this pledge drive. I hope people give a lot of money. So.
Well, I sure hope so, too. And I hope that people are generous and understand what a great institution KMUN Radio is.
And that way we'll know that people are actually listening, too. And I like
that's
that
right.
Thought. Well, I was kind of looking up a little about your background, and I see that you were elected to a second four-year term in November of 2008. So you're about a quarter of a way through your second term.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this is the start of my fifth year, I guess you would say. I started in 2005. Learned a lot over the last 4 years, 5 years, and I'm still learning. I'm still in that process. You know, there's a lot of things going on in Warrenton. Kind of have to kind of get involved in a variety of different projects it's been something that I've really enjoyed and something that I've grown to love.
Well, there certainly is a lot going on in Warrenton, and people are always wondering what sort of new businesses are going to go into those various locations, like the old Costco store and out near the new Costco. Do you have any new information on that?
You know, I get asked a lot about what stores are coming to Warrenton. They see the new Costco store that went in last year. The Goodwill store is being constructed now, and a lot of people speculate and hear rumors about what other stores might be locating to that location or going into the old Costco building. And I can honestly say I don't know. I hear the same rumors that everyone else does. And, you know, we have our planning commission, our development codes that and our zoning that's kind of set up to address that. And as soon as I know, I'll be happy to share that information. But to my knowledge, I just can't can't tell you.
And I guess everyone always asks the proverbial question, what about Walmart?
What about Walmart? Well, as far as I know, they're working, the owners, that's private property, they're working with the Department of Transportation on access issues. They haven't submitted anything to the city of Warrenton. So it's all up to the owners of that property and their potential store, Walmart store, that I know that they've been in negotiations with, and they are dealing with the access to their location off of Highway 101, off of Marlin, off of Highway 104, which, you know, that's been an issue. Almost everything that's come into Warrenton is they've had to deal with an access off of a state highway, and I know that that's what they're currently working on. And when I see that there's an application or something that's been submitted to the city, I'll be happy to let you know at that time.
Well, I remember when Joan Dukes was the state senator, she said years ago that really ODOT is the land use planning agency for Oregon.
I mean, honestly, they've assumed that role in a lot of cases. Now, we might be upset, not understand why it is that we're dealing with the Department of Transportation so much, but certainly, it's a transportation and traffic lights and safety, public safety along Highway 101 is a preeminent concern. And anytime you have new development, you have left-hand turns that you got to make off of a state highway, and there are potential, you know, hazards for backups. If you don't have enough flow lanes for people to travel in, you're going to have a problem. So it's a complicated, I understand their difficulty. You know, they have a lot of engineers working on these projects and a lot of planners working on these projects, and it's a lot of work. So we have to understand that that sometimes it doesn't happen as fast as we assume that it will, but we have to work through the process.
Well, State Senator Betsy Johnson has said that she's kind of working on some sort of bill, I don't know if it's a bill or what, but with ODOT, that they would need to standardize the procedure they use. Apparently, it seems that sometimes it's different in one place from another. So we'll see, but that's probably something that won't happen immediately anyway. So
yeah, I think a lot of times you have problems with the regional communicating with Salem, and Salem communicating with the regional manager, and we have a really good one in Larry McKinley right now, who's located here in the Warrenton and Clatsop County area. And he's a very intelligent guy, and he's juggling a lot of balls with a lot of different projects. And so he's a very capable man, and he's, you know, he has his hands tied by what he can do. And there are many different arms of the Department of Transportation, and so he's working in one capacity where somebody else is going to be working on the permitting side or the planning side. And so he has to work amongst a lot of different divisions within his own agency. So it's a challenge to him, but he's doing the best he can, I know.
Yes, he's very nice. It is a huge bureaucracy, and I guess one of the things that people are concerned about is, of course, that tunnel, that great big tunnel. How much is Warrenton concerned about what might happen if that tunnel gets closed for a major period of time? I know we didn't talk about this before, but it just sort of came up.
You know, we share the same concerns that I think Mayor Don Larson and Seaside shares. We know that is our lifeline to Portland. I personally drive through that tunnel several times a week, and to think that it might be closed for any period of time is a definite threat to us. I mean, we want to make sure that people are able to access the coast, that the coast is able to access the Willamette Valley and the Portland metro area. Highway 30, of course, is the official truck route. That's supposed to be the route for large vehicles and trucks. And so when people are traveling along Highway 30 and there's some restriction or tie up there, you know, Highway 26 becomes your only option. But it seems like you would want to direct a lot of that large transportation or large traffic on Highway 30 and not try to change things on Highway 26. I know that this is something that they're looking at, trying to work with the communities on the coast and say, listen, we'll close it during the night, won't have it closed during the day, might extend the time frame of the work window, but at least it won't be keeping people from traveling during the day along Highway 26. So at least they're listening to people and trying to reach a alternative that'll be satisfactory, even though nobody likes to see any closures on Highway 26.
And ironically, I've heard that a lot of the reason that they're thinking of it is big stores like Home Depot that have a lot of truck traffic. So it's kind of a knife that cuts both ways for Warrenton, isn't it?
Yeah, I've heard that it's oversized loads or things that are maybe if you're moving something like a mobile home, they have to use the entire tunnel. They can't.
Well,
you know, you obviously
that doesn't happen very often. I don't think we all need to get too worried about it.
Right. Moving. As far as Highway 30, I mean, there's a lot. That is the designated truck mm-hmm. route. So a lot of these trucks can travel on Highway 30.
Yeah.
It's certainly nice to have that flexibility, I would think, for most of the big commercial stores and industries to be able to travel both Highway mm-hmm. 26 and Highway 30.
And those curves are quite a challenge.
And the bridge, you know, you have Quartz Creek Bridge,
which is another.
There's a number of pinch points along the way, so
it's hard to get here.
It's going to be one, and then there's going to be another.
Oh, all right. Well, this is After Deadline. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and our guest this morning, or today I should say, is Mark Quila, who is in his second term as a Warrenton City Commissioner. Well, one thing I was noticing when I was kind of looking around to see what's been going on in Warrenton lately, refreshing my memory, is that your room tax was raised to 12% last July. And I guess probably don't really know how that's doing yet.
You know, it raised from 9% to 12%.
Right. It's the highest, I think, in the state, isn't it?
It is. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's the highest in the state, but it is significantly mm-hmm. higher than it used to be. And if you remember, that was one of these alternatives that was suggested when we were asking the public, and we also hired a consultant to look at revenue possibilities for public safety. What we were trying to do is raise some money for our fire department and our police departments. Mm-hmm. We had three measures that went on the November 2008 ballot, and they were all defeated, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so we had to scramble to try to find some alternatives. And franchise fees ended up being something that we would be charging to our own utilities. That was a discussion that we had. We ultimately agreed on that. Room tax was another one that we raised from 9% to 12%. We also took a look at some of our dike, our funds in the general fund, like the dike fund, and said, could we consolidate this with the stormwater fund and move it out of the general fund and allow some money to be free for keeping that second position, which is John Shepherd, the training officer's position in the fire department. Can we fund that through this leftover money from the dike fund, which is what we did? And so it was kind of a creative way to try to see if we could raise some money through our existing budget, and by raising some of these fees and by creating this new franchise fee for our public utilities, we were able to do that. And hopefully this next fiscal year, we'll be able to hire a third person on in the fire department, because we desperately need it.
Yeah, that room tax one seemed especially fair because so many of the calls are are visitors. It's not just the local people. Well, moving on to the most exciting thing, I think, is that you're going to be part of a delegation from Warrenton going to Washington, D.C. on March 14th. Who else besides you?
Well, it will be the mayor, Gil Gramson, and our city planner, Carol Parker, and myself. And this, to my knowledge, is the first time, and I haven't heard anything contrary to this, but this is the first time that the city of Warrenton's ever been back to Washington, D.C. on any type of city business. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a exciting time that we're actually going to be making some connections with our congressional delegation out there. And, you know, we have three real projects that we're trying to, or three real things we're trying to do out there. One is, of course, the new FEMA flood zone maps and the Corps of Engineers dike districts, or the certification of our diking districts by the Corps of Engineers.
Explain that. I bet a lot of people probably don't realize that you're sort of like Holland.
You know, we are.
You got to have those dikes.
We are protected by our levee system, by our dike system. We have 8 miles of them in the city of Warrenton. They're crucial to keeping land dry in the city of Warrenton. And, you know, they were constructed back even before the 1930s, but they were reinforced back in early 1930s, 31 through 33, by the Army Corps of Engineers. And since then, the city took over the maintenance and ownership of the dikes, and we have an annual inspection every year by the Army Corps of Engineers that drives the dikes and points out any things that really need attention. But that has been the process, you know, for decades. And we got a letter about, I think it was 2006, and it was when our old city manager was leaving, and our old city engineer was leaving, and our old public works director was leaving, all at the same time.
Oh.
And we got a letter saying that they were going to do a new floodplain study for the city of Warrenton, and that we also needed to get our dike certified. Well, I didn't even see that letter. A lot of people didn't even know what it meant. We knew that we had our annual inspection every year. The Army Corps of Engineers checks off on everything and says it's fine. But we were unaware of what this certification process was, and it was a new one that the Army Corps of Engineers was kind of thrust into because FEMA wanted to do a new floodplain map.
And FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
I'll get it out right here.
Like the ones that responded to Katrina,
exactly.
For example.
And I think that that's a good example of, you know, they took a lot of criticism for their response during Katrina. So understandably so, they wanted to kind of reconcile a lot of the low-lying areas and a lot of the coastal towns to make sure that they have their adequate flood protection plans in place, and that they're going to make sure that we're held accountable just as they've been held accountable in the past. And that's not a bad thing. However, the way that it's been implemented has been a very confusing and a very frustrating process for a lot of local cities around the country. We're not the only ones that are experiencing this. A lot of other coastal towns have gone through the same process. And what they did was they created a map that showed a lot of the city within this 100-year floodplain.
And did you think that map was perhaps not really accurate?
We did, and we looked at it. We actually brought in a consultant from HLB Engineering to review it as well, and when he took a look at it too, it did not make sense with what we know the topography and the elevations in the city of Warrenton to be. And it really was outside of just the dikes protection. It was the fact that they had some inaccurate data. For example, if you and I are living on a street and I'm in one house and you're on the other side of the street in another house and we're both looking eye to eye at each other at the same elevation, well, there were areas that showed that I'd have to buy flood insurance and you wouldn't.
Oh, good. I'm glad I was on the good side.
So you were on the
good
side and it worked out good for you, but it didn't work out so good for me.
Oh.
And so we looked at a lot of cases like that and said, you know, this isn't enforceable. We can't adopt a map like this in our planning department and then have someone come in who says, hey, do I have to ask us whether they have to buy flood insurance or not? What do we tell them? Well, we don't think you do, but the map says that you do. That's not a process we wanted to engage in. We wanted to get some corrections. So we appealed the map, and we waited and waited and waited to hear back from FEMA. And unfortunately, we got a response saying that our appeal was denied. And we appealed again, and we obviously were very passionate about this, but we also knew that they hadn't really looked at our appeal and never addressed any of our questions. At the same time, while this is going on, the Corps of Engineers, we had contracted with them to do a certification process because we finally found out, hey, we need to get our dikes certified to make sure that they're adequately protecting our citizens. We learned about, you know, the Corps of Engineers process and started the process. They would came down, visited all of our dikes, toured our dikes, and then we were informed that they could no longer do the certification because of the Thomas Amendment, which is passed in 2000. And that Thomas Amendment said that government could not directly contract. If there was a private consultant that could do the same work, we had to go hire that private consultant instead of a government agency. Oh. Well, there wasn't any private consultants that could do this type of certification. Nobody was willing to get into the liability of doing that, nor could they do it at a cost that was even closely competitive. In fact, in Cowlitz County is a good example where they had a $250,000 quote from the Corps of Engineers. The Corps of Engineers then, you know, informed them they could not do it, so they went out to another private consultant, which is the same one that we contacted in Warrenton, Cornforth. And they got a quote of $8.6 million.
Oh, this is so awful.
So it was 30 times of what the cost was. And, you know, this was an example that was repeating itself across the country. And we found some remedy in that the Chiefs Economy Act allows a city like Warrenton to go to another government agency that is a federal agency, such as the Coast Guard in our case, or say someone like the Department of Agriculture in other areas, and you can partner with them. They can share the cost, and you then can hire the Corps of Engineers to do the certification, which means that type of partnership relationship with another federal agency then can give you the legal, I guess, muster to hire the Corps of Engineers to do the certification process, and that's what we're doing right now. We've contacted the Coast Guard, and we're hopefully, and they're aware of what our need is, and they understand how it impacts them out at the airport.
So the airport won't have to start having pontoons on their helicopters.
They want to do some you know, expansion out there. Right. So they need to have this corrected.
Oh, that's lucky for us then, isn't it?
It's very good for us.
So that it's still something I thought you were going to be talking about in Washington, D.C., or is that pretty well resolved now?
It is something we're going to be talking about in Washington, D.C. To make a long-winded answer longer, we're actually going to go and ask for FEMA to suspend this new flood map while a new map is being created, and there's already starting on new topography mapping for the whole entire Oregon coast.
Is that because of that hazard mapping that we heard about last
week? That is one of the driving principles behind that, is that we had a presentation from the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, and they call them DGAMI is the
I love
acronym,
that.
DGAMI.
It's a great
I
name, isn't
that
it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a good name. But they are going to be doing for a four-year period, they're going to be remapping the entire Oregon coast. And when that is completed, we're going to have a much more accurate picture of what the landscape is on the Oregon coast, and then what inundation zones, either from a 100-year flood or a 500-year flood, say something we're talking about with the Cascadia subduction zone and an event that would happen in rupture of that and a resulting tsunami hitting the Oregon coast. So we're going to get a real accurate picture out of that by the modeling that they're doing at Oregon State University and through the LIDAR data that we're going to get, the laser terrain mapping that they're going to be doing of what the flood zones are. So let's wait till that's done. Let's yeah. use that data and combine it with our dike certification. And then we're going to get a flood map that we can live with. And the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, is going to use that map then to determine whether or not you need flood insurance or you don't need flood insurance.
In the meantime, though, will some people still have to pay pretty high flood insurance while this is being resolved?
Well, it's not. We haven't adopted anything as a city yet. So that's why we're asking for time. We're just going back to ask for time to suspend the map until we get the new map done.
And keep the old, what was in place before.
Exactly. Okay. Keep the old one in place. All right. So that's what we're asking for.
All right. Well, you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio, and it's Mark Quila who's been speaking about this very abstruse topic.
Sorry,
of the dikes. No, it's so important. It's one of those things that people just sort of take for granted. They don't really know what's going on. We all know that they're, I mean, I don't know if everyone all knows, but you have those dikes keeping back the water around Warrenton, but all this bureaucracy and the way this is going on is—I think it's fascinating, frankly.
Yeah, it is. It's somewhat a little disheartening that you have to go to these machinations in order to get these things accomplished.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's a great education.
Yeah,
we have met the enemy, and he is us.
True.
That was our engineer, Terry Wilson. In case you're just wondering where that voice came from, well, I guess we're almost kind of getting short of time here. So let's see what else we're going to talk about here.
Sandra, I killed all your time here.
No, I mean it's really important. You did want to say something, I think, about the Hammond Marina, because that's another important thing.
Well, that's another thing we're going back on. We've leased the Hammond Marina from the Army Corps of Engineers since 1967. First, it was the town of Hammond that struck that lease, and now the city of Warrenton.
Because Hammond's part of Warrenton now.
Because in the 90s, we merged, and now Hammond is part of Warrenton, and so we have a lease with the Corps of Engineers, and we lease 59 acres, which both on land and in the water there of the Hammond Marina. And we are trying to renegotiate that because it expires in 2013. And so we wanted to go there, kind of present, you know, how important it is, give our master plan to them so they see that we are considering some improvements to the master plan. We're already working on some of those.
The parking lot is
one of the first ones. We did the dredging. The parking lot is, we received bids yesterday, and we're going to be opening those, I believe, today. And that should be done by this summer.
And it's all grass out there, isn't it, now?
It is, and this isn't going to be a paved parking lot. It's going to be gravel. It's going to be graded, but it's going to be a two-acre site, so it's going to be large.
And that's a hugely important place for the city of Warrenton, isn't it? I mean, it's a very popular marina.
Oh, it is. It is. And, you know, I remember growing up, my uncle had a boat there, and all the recreational sports fishermen prize it because it's so close to going outside and into the Pacific Ocean that this is going to be a place that we really want to see grow. And we know that there are some facilities that need improvements, and we want to make those improvements. And we just want to make sure that we can continue to manage it for years to come.
And that's one of the things that you're going to try to get clarified in Washington, D.C.?
Exactly. We want to show our interest, and we want to show our plan for the future.
It's really surprising, I think, to most people that you don't own it. I mean, who would have thought that was leased from the Army Corps of Engineers?
Yes. We have some property around the Hammond Marina that we do own that is part of the city of Warrenton. But again, 59 acres of it is leased. And we have had a really good working relationship with the Corps of Engineers over that period of time. We've had no problems. And it's simply because they've wanted to retain that area as a staging area while they're doing the South Jetty rebuild project, that's why we haven't really been able to get together on either a long-term lease or purchase with them, because they still have, it's still part of their fallback if they have any problems during the South Jetty rebuild. So that's kind of what's been holding up things in the negotiations, and we want to kind of push through that and see if we can get some answers from them.
All right. Well, in the remaining couple of minutes, would you just talk about anything that you would like to bring up?
Well, I want to bring up one thing that I was going to bring up at the very beginning.
The Parks Master Plan?
Well, that is that is definitely something. I also wanted to say that I enjoyed your article last night in the Daily Historian, which was covering the regional food bank. And I think it's important for people to know that that's actually happening. There's a foundation on the ground. They plan on being completed in about 2 months with the building and then having occupancy in August, according to the Daily Astorian article. So I appreciate you doing that. It's such a needed facility here, and I can't wait till that thing's up and running.
Oh, well, thank you for noticing that. Yeah, I was very glad to do that story because I think those people at the community, Clatsop Community Action, are so dedicated, especially Marlon Martin and George Sable.
Yeah.
And they've worked so hard to get the financing for that.
They've worked so hard.
And it's really going to be nice, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be beautiful.
Well, I guess you got 30 seconds for the Parks Master Plan. How's it going?
I would just encourage everybody on March 10th, at Warrenton High School at 6 to 8, we're going to have a first meeting, and it's an open house. So anybody that has an interest in our park system that wants to suggest some things that we don't have or that need fixing in a long-term vision to show up and share their ideas. We're requesting just kind of a brainstorming session at first, and then we're going to refine that down. And this gives people an opportunity to share their ideas. So I would encourage anybody to show up at the Warrenton High School at 6 o'clock on March 10th and participate.
All right. Well, I hope people will do that. I know that, was it Bill Berg who was in charge of
Bill
the committee?
Bill Berg is the president of the Parks Advisory Board. He's doing a great job. And we've been working with Mary Blake, who is also on our Parks Board. She's from the Sunset Parks District. And I just appreciate their help and their leadership. Sharon Anderson's been with our community gardens projects, and she as well has been very engaged in this. So it's been a wonderful partnership and a wonderful motivating kind of center for people that want to really see some livability improvements in Warrenton.
All right. Well, that's all been, I think, very interesting, especially I'm just fascinated by that Army Corps of Engineers stuff. But this is After Deadline. I'm Sandra Swain, and this person that has been speaking so knowledgeably about all this is Mark Quila, who is a member of the Warrenton City Commission.